Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, happy Mother's Day again to all you moms, and none of us would be here without you, literally. Impossible. But really, moms, we appreciate you. Adam, don't shake your head, man. Come on. You know it's true, but we really appreciate and love our moms. I hope all of you with a mom, let them know you love them and how much you appreciate them today. But I'm excited and grateful for the opportunity to preach on Mother's Day, and though I'm not a professional on motherhood, I do think that what I'm going to be talking about today is one of the most important things that you could possibly understand and engage with as a mother, but really for all of us, anything that we seek to be, anything that we seek to do, that we desire to be for God, we cannot be without this today. And that is, I want to talk about the importance of the person of the Holy Spirit in our life, having a relationship with the Holy Spirit and living by the power of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit in all things that we do. But that after today, we would just have a fresh appreciation for the Holy Spirit in our life, the access we have to the Spirit, and just remember who He really truly is and who He's capable of being in our life. And so I'm believing that can empower mothers in this place to be great moms, but I hope it can empower all of us to be what God is calling us to be, whether it's a mother, a father, a friend, a good worker, somebody who's bold in sharing their faith, whatever it is. We need the Spirit in our life. And so I want to just take some time to kind of do, I guess, kind of a survey of the Holy Spirit throughout all of Scripture and just kind of do a brief look at who the Spirit is and who He's been since the beginning until today. And I hope that can help us just become more familiar with who the Holy Spirit is and remembering Him so that we can be in relationship with Him. But the Holy Spirit is, first and foremost, God. He is a part, an equal part of the Trinity. He is equally God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a person of God that you and I are to be in relationship with, right? The Holy Spirit is a person of God that wants you to know Him. He wants to be known by you. But the Holy Spirit has been present, active, since the very beginning of the time because He is God. He has always been. But right in the beginning in Genesis, it says the Spirit resided over the waters that were formless and void before the creation of the world. The Spirit was there residing. And when God created Adam and Eve, He breathes His breath into him. But this word that shows up there when God breathes breath to give life to Adam, it's this word ruach. And it's the word that shows up almost every time the Spirit of God is referenced to in the Old Testament. So the Holy Spirit is breathed into Adam and gives life. It's this life-giving power that brings humanity into existence. And it is the power that we see show up. It's the person we see show up and move every time that God is seeking to do His work here on earth, particularly in us and through us. So the Spirit is very prevalent and very active in the Old Testament, just as He is in the New Testament. But I think sometimes we kind of think of the Holy Spirit and this person as more of a New Testament idea, which I think there's valid reason for that. But the Holy Spirit has always been, and He is very active in all of Scripture. But I just want to talk a little bit about how the Spirit is active in the Old Testament and how it builds this anticipation and looks forward to the day where the Spirit would be a part of the life of every believer and empowering every believer. But the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is active, but is limited to very specific people for very specific time and purpose. And so because of sin, it separates us from God. And so people in general are separated from the presence of God. And the presence of God had to be confined to the temple and these holy spaces, and it was very confined to these physical places, and there was only very specific designated people who were able to go into the presence of God on behalf of the people, right? So there was this kind of separation between God and man in the Old Testament that was very prevalent, yet his spirit was still at work. And so God would place his spirit on people for a specific time and purpose. And we see God pour out his spirit on kings, pour out his spirit on judges, pour out his spirit on prophets. But the same phrase shows up time and time again throughout the Old Testament. And in Judges, there's a few different times, the spirit of the Lord comes upon Othniel in Judges chapter 3, verse 10. The spirit of the Lord comes upon Gideon in Judges 6, 34. Comes upon Jephthah in Judges 11, 29. But the spirit comes upon these judges to lead the Israelites before they have a king. God uses these men to lead the Israelites. And so when they're set aside to be leaders, God puts his spirit on them. And the spirit of the Lord comes upon Saul when he's anointed to be king. The spirit of the Lord comes upon David. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers, and the spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." And so the spirit is what empowers and enables David to be a man after God's heart, to be the king of Israel. It's what empowers the judges. And the spirit is what empowers prophets to speak to the people on God's behalf. But Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, Isaiah says, "The spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news." So Isaiah recognizes the spirit of God has come upon me. The Holy Spirit is upon me so that I can proclaim good news to the poor, so that I can speak boldly the word of God. And this is the case for all prophets, for all of the kings of Israel, for the judges that led. The reality is the majority of the characters and people from the Old Testament that we remember and that we revere, the reason we remember them is because the Spirit of God was at work in them and through them. And anything that they did that was good or worth honoring or noting is because of the Spirit. It was not because of their own ability or anything that they could do in themselves. But the Holy Spirit shows up to empower these specific people for a task to do what they could not do on their own, to do what they would not be capable of doing. And we see this example with a lot of people who really do seem disqualified or wouldn't be your first pick, right? David was overlooked by man, and God says, "I don't see the outward appearance, I see the heart," and he pours his spirit on him and uses him in greater ways than anybody would have imagined. Or Moses, God puts his spirit on Moses. Moses wasn't a good speaker, he wasn't a natural leader, but God uses Moses through his spirit to lead the entire people of Israel in a powerful way, to do something Moses could never do on his own. But I want to look at a story from the life of Moses and his time leading the Israelites. It's honestly kind of a funny story to me. It's very interesting. It's a crazy story. This story begins to just build this anticipation for a day that would come where the Spirit will become available to all people. But I want to look at this story from Numbers chapter 11. And just a little background on this story. The Israelites are in the desert. God has used Moses to lead the Israelites into the desert. And God has given them manna to eat. And he's been giving them manna for days and days and days. And the Israelites are starting to complain to Moses and saying, "We're sick of eating manna. God, would you please give us meat?" And Moses is getting fed up with the Israelites being fed up and complaining. And everybody's just complaining and upset and bickering. But Moses is starting to feel the weight and the burden of being the one that God has set apart and put his spirit on to lead, being the one of the few people who has experienced the Spirit of God. But Moses begins to talk to God and saying, "God, would you just give these people some meat? They're complaining. They're sick of eating manna. God, would you do it? Would you please liberate me?" Moses is really going through it. He says, "Take me out. I would rather die." He literally says that, "I would rather die than have to lead these bickering, complaining people anymore." he's really feeling the weight. But chapter 11, I'll start in verse 16 here. So this is the Lord's response to Moses. He says, I hear you, all right, I'll give you meat, but I hear you even just complaining about the weight of leading your people. And so the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. And I will come down and speak with you there. And I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and I will put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. Then I'm going to jump ahead to verse 24 now. So Moses prepares the elders. They're getting ready to meet together. So Moses goes out and tells the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of the elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, son of Nun, who had been there, or had been at Moses' side since youth, spoke up, and he said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to camp. So this is just kind of a crazy, bizarre story to me, but it's just this kind of isolated experience throughout Old Testament scripture. It's one of the few times where we see God put his Spirit on multiple people. He puts his Spirit on these 70 elders, and they begin to prophesy. There's this sign of the power of the Spirit that happens, and this is totally out of the normal. This doesn't happen. And so much so that somebody sees this happening in the camp, and they run to Moses to tattle. They say, Moses, stop this. These people are prophesying, right? They're like, what is going on here? This is so bizarre. This isn't how this works. And Moses says, what are you talking about? Are you jealous for my sake? You want me to be the only person with the Spirit of God, with the access to God's presence? I wish that all people could have access to the Spirit of God. I wish that all people could know God the way that I know them. I wish that all people could have the understanding that I'm able to have, could have this connection with God. Moses is saying, this is not the most ideal situation that I am the only one that regularly walks in this. And I think Moses is beginning to even prophesy of a day that would come. He's looking forward to a day that would come, which I think is echoing God's heart, for a day where the Spirit would be for all people. And there's this prophet named Joel. I want to look in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. But he echoes this same longing, and I think the same heart of God. This is God's words through the prophet Joel about a day that would come where that would be fulfilled, where Moses' desire would be fulfilled. But God says through Joel in chapter 2, verse 28 through 32, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood. Before me, the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There will be a day where God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. It will no longer be confined to a physical building. It will no longer be reserved for just specific people for a specific time and purpose of leadership. But there will be a day where the Spirit of God will be available to all people. that all men, old women, young men, young women, they could prophesy, they could dream dreams, they could hear the voice of God, they could be the vessels of God's presence in the earth. That day is coming. And so the Spirit is very prevalent in the Old Testament, but it's different. It's limited because of sin. Because the Messiah has not yet come, God's perfect plan for man hasn't fully enacted. But now we get to look to the New Testament, and we're getting closer now to the days of living with the Spirit fully available, what God was really trying to get us to, what the Old Testament is really looking forward to and really hoping for. But Jesus comes to earth, and he too begins talking about a day where this beautiful gift of the Spirit would come and be made available. But Jesus talks many times with his disciples, with his followers, about one who would come after him. But in John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, Jesus says, "All this I have spoken while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid." And Jesus leaves his disciples with these words at the end of the book of Luke, when Jesus is, he's resurrected, he's about to return to heaven. This is his final words. He says in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. So stay in the city and wait until you have been clothed with power from on high." So Jesus is building this anticipation for the day where the Spirit will be poured out, where his followers would be clothed with power, where the Helper, the Advocate, would come and be available to them. And Jesus is saying, "I know it's great that I'm with you now, I'm walking with you now, but there's one who will be even, or there's a day that will be even better when I return to heaven and the Spirit becomes available to you. That will be even better than me walking with you physically, because at that time, no matter where you're at, everywhere you go, the Spirit will be there to help you, to lead you into truth, to give you understanding, to give you strength, to give you power at all times, not confined to physical circumstances. And all this is fulfilled on this wonderful day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So this is a story I'm sure most of us are very familiar with. As a Pentecostal church, it's a very foundational story and passage for our fellowship and who we are and how we operate. But I hope this story can have so much more meaning, and we can appreciate it when we understand what's come before and the longing for the Spirit that preceded this, and the longing for the Spirit that Moses had, that Joel had, that all those who had experienced the Spirit before longed for this day where the Spirit would be poured out, and that day finally comes in Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to read verses 1 through, let's do 1 through 21. Okay. "So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So the disciples and many followers are doing what Jesus said. They're waiting to be clothed with power. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.'" I almost had to speak in tongues to pronounce all that. Anyways, I tried practicing pronouncing that, and it still had a hard time. Anyways, "Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' somehow ever made fun of them. And they said, oh, they're drunk. They've had too much wine. And then Peter stands up and he addresses this whole crowd. This awesome, wonderful thing just happened. Tongues of fire appear. People are speaking in tongues. A great wind blows through, like just signs and wonders. Everyone's like, what is going on? Amazed and bewildered, Peter stands up and he raises his voice and addresses the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel, what we just read. And he repeats this prophecy. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. People will dream dreams. They'll prophesy. Signs and wonders will happen. Peter is saying, today is the day that prophecy has been fulfilled. The longing of the Old Testament prophets and scriptures and leaders longing for a day of the Spirit being poured out, that day is here. The Holy Spirit has been poured out and has been made available to all people, to all flesh. And then everything moving forward, the early church, the boom in the early church, it's fueled by this day, this moment where the Spirit is poured out and becomes available. The Holy Spirit becomes the vehicle for all the things we read in the rest of Acts, for the beginning of the early church, for those who go out and share the gospel and boldly proclaim the gospel everywhere, even to their death. And even still to this day, the Spirit is the fuel to the fire of the church and God's work in the earth through his people. It is the only way it's possible for us to know God the way that we do, to be used by God, to be a part of his kingdom and his mission. It's the only way for us to fulfill Jesus's call to us to go into all the world and create disciples and baptize them. The only way you can do that is by the power of the Spirit at work in your life. Jesus himself says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when my Spirit comes upon you so that you can be my witnesses to all Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of the earth. So when the Spirit comes upon you, when the Spirit's at work in your life, he will empower you and enable you to do and to be what you could never be on your own. But he empowers you to be a part of the mission of God, to be a part of doing God's work in the earth. The Spirit is here and available to be your helper, to be your advocate. Like Jesus said, he wants to lead you into truth. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you direction, but he also wants to give you power to be something. There are fruits of the Spirit for your character. It should lead you to have joy, peace, patience, right? You know the fruits of the Spirit. But he's also wanting to give you power and boldness to go and be something for Christ in the world, to go and preach the gospel, to go and lead your friend to Jesus, your workplace to Jesus, to go and live out God's mission on the earth. That is why the Spirit has come. That is why Scripture is looking forward to this day. So what is the difference the Spirit makes? It's everything. We can be nothing for God. We can't even know God without the Spirit of God leading us and being at work in our life. But I want us to also just look at the difference the Spirit makes, even from just the example of Peter, right? Peter, who walked with Jesus physically, yet time and time again just seems to be kind of a goofball. He seems like he just doesn't really get it. Peter denies Jesus 3 times on the night of Jesus' betrayal. When guards show up to arrest Jesus, Peter goes and cuts off the ear of a guard. Jesus has to rebuke Peter and say, "Get behind me, Satan," because Peter just doesn't get it. He doesn't see why Jesus has come, what he's here to do. Right? Peter just can't seem to get it. And I feel like we can observe this with a lot of the disciples. Although they're walking with Jesus, they want to follow him, they mean well. Things just don't ever fully click for them. They have a hard time grasping what Jesus is trying to lead them to and get them to do and be. And then when does everything click for them? When Jesus returns to heaven and the Spirit comes. The difference is the Holy Spirit at work in their life, filling them, giving them power, giving them understanding. And so Peter goes from this kind of unsure, timid, confused person to all of a sudden the Spirit is poured out and he stands up and boldly declares, this day fulfills the prophecy of Joel chapter 2. He gives direction to all these people of what just happened, and then he goes on from that place and boldly proclaims the gospel on mission for God until he is killed for his faith with all the other disciples and early apostles. They boldly declare the gospel until their death. Why is that possible? Because the Spirit gave them power and boldness to be witnesses. It gave them the ability to grasp the message of the gospel. It gave them the ability to understand truth. The Holy Spirit is all the difference for our life. And I just think about my own life and the example of the power of the Spirit, the impact of the Spirit in my own life, especially when I was younger. And I'm still hyper aware of my weakness, my inadequacies, my insecurities. But especially when I was a teenager in high school, I was one of the most just insecure, fearful kids. I was paralyzed by the fear of what people thought about me. The idea of getting up in front of people and speaking was the most frightening thing possible for me. And yet God called me to be a pastor. God specifically called me to ministry. And I found myself so many times wondering, God, why would you even ask me to do something I'm so unnaturally equipped to do? I'm so unnaturally gifted in this, at least how I see myself. I just don't feel strong in this. God, I don't even understand why you're calling me to do this. But what led me to engage with that call? What led me to take steps of faith? What led me to get outside of my comfort zone and say yes? It's because I knew there was this promise in Scripture that the Spirit would give me power to be what God's calling me to be. I knew that I would have a helper and an advocate in the Holy Spirit to go and be what I cannot be on my own. I'm so incapable on my own. And whatever you observe on the outside, I can take no credit. If you see it as good, it is the Spirit working at me and helping me and enabling me because I am so weak. I know it. I know myself. I feel so inadequate so many times. I feel so weak. And it's not woe is me. It's to the glory of the Spirit at work in my life. I can take credit for nothing good for God in my life. I know it is the Holy Spirit working in me. I know it's only because I have been able, through God's word, through great counsel in my life, through great leaders in my life, things that have pointed me to say, you need to live by the Spirit. You need to rely on the Spirit. You need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you can do that, there is no limit to what God could do through your life, to how he could use you as a vessel. It has nothing to do with your ability. It has everything to do with how capable and how able the Holy Spirit is. He is God. There is no limit for him. So why am I sharing all this with you today? I want to encourage you and remind you, you have access to the Spirit. We no longer live in the days where his Spirit is confined to just a specific time for a specific purpose. It's no longer limited to the temple. It's no longer limited to a physical building in space. The Holy Spirit has been made available because Jesus paid the price for your sin. He made us righteous before God through his sacrifice. So the veil is torn. Your heart is open for the Holy Spirit to live in and reside in. If you put faith in Christ, you are now qualified to carry the Holy Spirit. You're now qualified to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and live in your life and fill you with power. You are now qualified through Christ to pursue a baptism of the Holy Spirit that would fill you with power, that would lead to fruit of the Spirit, that would lead to prophecy, that would lead to praying in tongues, that would lead to having wisdom and discernment, that would lead to having this boldness that you don't even know where it came from. For some reason, I went out and I told somebody about the gospel on the street, even though I thought I was going to get punched in the face, right? How is this able to happen? It's because the Holy Spirit is available. And the Holy Spirit is a person that wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to walk with you every single day. He wants to be a part of every moment of your day. So do we live in relationship with the person of the Spirit? Do we live like that kind of power lives in us? Romans chapter 8, verses 11 says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body because the Spirit lives in you. The power that raised Christ from the dead, resurrection power, lives in you through the Spirit. Do we live like that kind of power is at work in us? Do we pray like that kind of power is at work in us and through us? How does that shape our expectation? How does it shape the confidence we have in our faith? How does it shape the decisions we make throughout our day? Do we expect God to use us? Do we believe that God could speak through us? Do we believe that we could pray and miracles could happen? Do we believe that God could use us to speak a word of encouragement to somebody, to use you to actually lead somebody to Jesus? Do you believe that the Spirit is capable of doing that through your life? Because I believe nobody in Christ is exempt from these things. Nobody in Christ is exempt from the Holy Spirit and his work and what he's capable of doing. I believe every one of you are called to be leaders in the kingdom of heaven, to go and create disciples. I don't think all of you are called to be kings. You're not all called to be prophets. You're not all called to be in some high position. We all will have different titles throughout our life. God may call you to specific things, to hold specific titles, but every single one of you in Christ are called to be a part of God's work and mission on the earth through the Spirit. You're all called to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. We have such a privilege to have full access to the Spirit, and that's what I want us to remember today. What we live in today, the reality we live in today, this was not something that all people have known. Not all people have been able to live in the days that we live in. Not all people had the privilege of knowing their Savior's name is Jesus. Not all people have known the days that fulfilled the prophecy of Joel, but we do. So do we live in appreciation of that? Do we live in awareness of that? We cannot fail to miss this part of our faith. If we do not know how to engage with the Holy Spirit, to live in relationship, if we don't begin to be thinking about this and seeking this, there's going to be a massive part of our faith that is missing. There's going to be a massive part of how we live out our relationship with God that's going to be missing. You're going to find yourself probably being frustrated with your relationship with God. There's going to be a disconnect somewhere if the Spirit is left out of your walk with Jesus, your walk with God. If you don't have an expectation to carry being a believer out through the Spirit, there's gonna be a disconnect there somewhere. Our mindset should not be, let me try to do my best and then ask for the Spirit's help when I fail, but that I cannot do anything without the Spirit. That I would not attempt anything without the leading of the Spirit. And we all need to do better at that. I know I need to do better at that. There's so many things I just jump onto right off the bat with just, I'm going to operate in my own understanding, or I'm just going to operate in my own strength and then realize how inadequate I am and I fail and I make a mess. And I say, all right, let me try to go and do this the right way. What if instead I would just start with the Spirit? What if I would just pause for a second and say, God, how would you lead me in this moment? What if I would take a moment to actually listen for the Spirit to speak to me? What if I would just ask the Spirit to lead me, to give me power, to give me strength, to give me wisdom? How would that change our life? How would that impact those around us? So you want to be a good mom. Here, let's bring it back to Mother's Day. Live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Be in relationship with the Holy Spirit every single day. I know some of you mothers, you have no idea how to lead your kids to Jesus right now, or you're frustrated with something going on in your family, you don't know what the answer is. You have no idea how to resolve conflict right now. You don't know what direction to go. Maybe you feel inadequate, incapable of being a mother. Thank God you have the Holy Spirit available to you. Ask him to help you. Ask him to give you power. Ask him to give you wisdom. The Holy Spirit knows the answer. The Holy Spirit knows just what needs to happen for restoration to take place in your family. The Holy Spirit knows just how to use you to lead your family to Jesus. The Holy Spirit knows just how to sustain you. He knows how to help you. You want to be a father, the same thing. You want to reach your friends for Jesus, walk by the Spirit. You want to have influence in your workplace, live and walk by the Spirit. You don't know what decision to make next in your life right now. You don't know what you should do with your money. Walk by the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be your counselor. Let him be your friend. Follow his lead. All right. Sorry, I'm running out of breath. I gotta breathe for a second. Let me just close with just some, at least for me, this is just, I would think, okay, I need to live by the Spirit. I need to be better at this. I want to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. What can I practically do? What can I start doing to do better at this? So I'll just share with you some of the things that came to mind for me of, let me just practically think about how to walk by the Spirit. Well, one, like I've kind of already mentioned, it has to start with the expectation that the Spirit wants to lead you, that he wants to speak to you, that he is available to you. So it's got to be in your mind. You have to understand who the Holy Spirit is. You have to know that this is possible and that this is available. So continue to set your mind on that idea. But ask the Spirit to lead you. Don't underestimate the power of just praying. This is the most easy, practical thing you can do. Pray every single day. Literally pray every single day. Say, you can pray to the Holy Spirit. You can pray to the Holy Spirit. Okay? He can hear you. He's God. He wants to have a relationship. Talk with him. But say, Holy Spirit, lead me today. Would you please give me power and strength to be blank today? I know I have this thing coming up today and I'm nervous about it. I'm not sure how to do it. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me and give me strength in that moment today. You know, good and well, all morning long, I'm praying over and over again, Holy Spirit, please help me with this word today. Please give me strength. Please give me the words to speak. Please use me in a way that only you can, because I'm not sure if I'm ready to do this. I don't know if I'm fully capable of helping people understand who you are, all that. The Holy Spirit knows how to pray. Ask him for help. Another thing, build relationship with the Holy Spirit as a person of God. So another thing I've kind of already been mentioning, but just remember and know the Holy Spirit is not this weird, mystical, far-off idea, but that he is a person of God who wants to have relationship with you. Just as you know to have relationship with the Father, with Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit wants to have relationship with you, and that's possible. And I think when we can start to kind of engage with the Spirit in that way, have that mindset and that expectation, I think it can just be really helpful for us to learn how to start walking by the Spirit. When we can make the Holy Spirit kind of a relationship. I know at least for me, that's really helpful for me. To start to really engage with the Spirit on a daily basis and learn to be led by him. Another practical thing is read your Bible regularly, consistently, because one, the Holy Spirit will never contradict God's word. Everything that he's going to lead you to and direct you in is going to point you to God's word. This is the source, right? So it's going to be in alignment with the voice of the Spirit in your life. So if you know God's word really well, it's going to be easier to hear the voice of the Spirit. But the other thing is that the Bible talks about who the Holy Spirit is. It gives us the ability to have some understanding, to get to know the Holy Spirit. You want to be in a relationship with someone, you got to get to know them. And so if you can get to know who the Spirit is by reading God's word, by hearing what Jesus says about the Spirit, by being able to observe and see the way that the Spirit has used people throughout history, you'll begin to understand who he is. You'll be able to get to know this person of the Holy Spirit. So read your word. And one final thing I would just say is be careful not to quench the Spirit in your life. And what do I mean by that? Is now that you have an expectation that the Holy Spirit actually wants to speak to you, that he wants to be at work in your life, he wants to lead you, when you feel that prompting to go and pray for someone, when you feel that prompting to go and start a conversation with somebody in that coffee shop, when you feel the conviction about something you did and you're like, man, I don't think that was right, pay attention, listen to it, don't shrug it off. Did you ever think that maybe you're just not really that good at thinking to go pray for someone, that maybe the Holy Spirit prompted you to do that, that maybe the thought to share the gospel wasn't your flesh, but the Spirit leading you? Maybe that thing that said, oh, that sin is wrong, that's probably not your flesh. That's probably the Holy Spirit trying to speak to you, trying to engage with you. So don't constantly write off every thought that you have, every prompting that you have. It's just, that's just some random thought I had. That's just some dumb idea. No, the Holy Spirit is trying to get your attention. He's trying to get a hold of you. So it's really important what we do with those moments. What do I do with that nudge I feel, that prompting I feel? It's important that we fan to flame the work of the Spirit in our life by being willing to take a step of faith, being willing to take some action, being willing to act in some obedience, or to say, you know what? I know that what I'm doing right now is wrong. I think the Holy Spirit's convicting me in this, and I know how to correct it. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to ask somebody to help me make it happen. I'm going to take action instead of just letting this idea or this thought fade away, because I think that also plays into the influence and the power of the Spirit that's at work in our life, is what we do with the prompting of the Spirit. How do we respond? What action do we take as a result of that?
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.